Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk summer muskie fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, coming up right after these messages.
Big news. Hayward Power Sports is your new Shore Station Dock System dealer. Some homes have curb appeal, but does your lake home or cabin have shore appeal? Since 1959, Shore Station has crafted docks designed to be your summer fun center. They're constructed with high-quality aluminum and a durable powder coat color finish on their gorgeous harbor gray planking and slate gray sideboards. What's more, their modular design allows for endless configurations. Our Hayward Power Sports team can even pair your dock with an industry-favorite vertical boat lift from Lakeside Products. Yes, the Shore Station engineers kept it simple with accessories that mount quickly and easily without tools. Sections lock together with a simple spring-loaded pin mechanism, and leg height can be adjusted without tools. Plus, the quick-as-a-click dock accessories range from ladders and bumpers to gear towers, benches, seats, and more. Not only do Shore Station docks look great, their A-frame stance provides superior level of stability and safety. Check out your new Shore Station dealer, Hayward Power Sports, today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're down at Hayward Bait and Bottle talking to Jarrett McCarthy, and Jarrett, likes the nice summer weather here. We've had some nice days, some regular storm fronts coming through, a little everything, but the fishing's been good.
Fishing has been really good lately, yeah.
What has been biting? Let's start out with the panfish.
So, panfish, I was out on Saturday, and goodness gracious, did we get into the crappies. Live bait, plastic, did not matter what you were using. You know, we were looking anywhere between 10 and 20 feet of water. Some fish suspended, some fish, you know, hold up in cover or what have you, but they were all over the place. It was a good bite.
You know, how about the bluegills? Are the bluegills with them?
Bluegills were with them. Yep, they were.
Yeah, they'll all tend to get out in that deeper water, and, you know, a lot of people tend to want to use bobber fishing out there. I like to use just a tight line fishing straight down over the side of the boat once you get in over 10 feet of water. And it seems like that's more productive because you can change your depth to wherever the fish are.
It really is. That and the way that we were fishing was very unique. We were on a clear body water lake, so you could kind of see down in there. And all you'd wait to see is your jig either disappear, or you'd see your line dart off to the right or left and just set your hook. And, you know, bobber fishing is great. It's a good finesse way, but when they're biting that well, you know, you fish so much faster with just a plain jig or a plastic.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people gear up way too heavy for it, too. To go as light as you can as far as the jigs and everything else.
Yep, definitely.
How about the walleye fishing? There's still people want to get out there and catch some walleye.
I tell you what, I don't know any time of year where people don't want to go out and catch walleyes. But from what we're hearing, the walleye have definitely slowed down. We're definitely into the summer period. Most guys are out trolling, fish are out deep, depending on the body of water on. If you're on a darker body of water, they can still be up shallow, but most guys are trolling them in anywhere from, you know, 20 to 30 feet of water.
You know, and speaking of the trolling, that's something that's relatively new on a lot of lakes up here. In the last few years, we're allowed to troll. You're restricted to one line per angler, three lines per boat on a lot of waters, but when it comes to trolling equipment, that was always something that wasn't really available around here. Now it is. You guys have got a good supply of planer boards and all the stuff you need to troll.
Yep, your crankbaits, your planer boards. Yeah, we're carrying a lot of it because it's really getting some popularity up here. It's easier. You know, it's not like you're looking through your tackle box wondering, what's the right presentation to use? Maybe I throw this plastic, maybe I use live bait or what have you. You're basically just, you know, in search mode the full time that you're using your trolling method or what have you. And your crankbaits, you know, sometimes color matters, sometimes it's not. You know, a lot of times it's just a reaction strike that you're looking for out of the fish. It's a great way to find fish, and it's a great way to pick out new lures that, you know, you have confidence in.
Let's talk about the bass fishing. What's going on there as far as bass? Largemouth first here.
Largemouth, we were finding them, you know, mixed in with the crappies and bluegills while we were out the other day. You know, there's some fish that are still hold up strong into that shallow cover, and there are fish, you know, out roaming those deeper weed lines. As far as smallies go, you know, they're mostly hanging out deep right now on those deeper rocks, deeper weed edges. But fishing's been good for bass.
Yeah, the smallies in the big clear lakes, like you mentioned, mostly deeper stuff. If you're on some of the smaller lakes or reservoirs where you don't have that deeper water, in darker water, you've got, they tend to go a little shallower, right?
Yep, they do. Got a couple lakes that I know that I fish this time of year where a couple darker body waters, like you could find the smallies up in 3-4 feet of water hanging out in the lily pads, kind of like you'd find a regular largemouth bass, but just depends on the water clarity in your lake.
Northern pike fishing, that's actually the bigger pike going to be deeper, but there's still pike biting in the weeds even.
Pike all over, but yeah, your pike that you're going to get out towards the weeds, your bigger weed patches, those are going to be your smaller, your 18 to 26 inch fish, which if you're looking for fish to eat, those are the perfect fish to go and grab and fillet up and pickle or what have you. But those bigger pike are going to be out deeper in that cooler water.
And trolling is a good option for those again, too, as far as the bigger pike, because you can get something down there and keep it in that 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 foot range.
Coax one of those big girls to come up and hammer your crankbait, yep.
And talking about big fish, muskies, what's going on there?
So from what we're hearing from muskies still, we're still seeing a lot of pictures coming through. So it seems like the muskie bite out there is pretty good. Guys are getting them on smaller bucktails or medium-sized plastics. And some guys are still getting them on topwater out there. But it seems like if you're going to see a fish, you're going to see a fish right away when you head out there. Otherwise, you got to work for them.
You know, a lot of times that last evening bite is a good topwater bite. And getting toward evening, something a lot of people don't do anymore is fish at night. But it can be very productive for multiple different species of fish.
It really is. You know, and another thing that people don't look at enough are your moon phases, your majors, your minors. You know, some of those are really triggering effects in fish. So, you know, if you haven't bothered to take a look at that, you know, there are certain websites out there that'll tell you day by day, hey, when is the estimated good bite? When is the major? When is the minor? When are you going to see peak activity? Something to definitely take a look at.
Most musky guys out there pay attention to that plus the moon rise and moon set. And, you know, if you got a moon rise or a moon set very close to a sunrise or sunset, it's usually a real good day to be out there. You know, and down here at the shop, I know you guys are pretty much geared up with everything they need. You even got docks and stuff in here, right?
Yeah, we got docks and lifts in here that are still selling strong this time of year. We just got set up with our archery shop and all of our hunting gear for those people looking to get a jump start and everything. And obviously, we've got all your fishing goodies that you'd ever be looking for, plus live bait.
And down here, I know they'll help you out if you need to get, you know, ideas of where to go fishing, what's going to work, setting you up. I know you do a lot of that with people coming through the area, set them up with the right equipment stuff.
We do. We love sharing our information here. You know, we get families that come in all the time, or, you know, we get the single people that are just coming in looking to get going on fishing, and we're happy to get them out fishing. You know, we see a lot of those people come back smiling and happy and showing us pictures, so we're glad to set you in the right direction. Go out and catch some fish.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine folks that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking summer muskie fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports actually has Lund fishing boats in stock and available for sale. I know, in today's world, it's unheard of, but we have a limited number of 2022 Lunds, all rigged and ready for the water with Mercury outboards. From the 1650 Rebel to the 1875 Pro V Bass, they'll all go fast. Built by fishermen for fishermen, Lunds feature boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily, including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the things that Hayward's famous for and people come up here for is muskie fishing. And on this week's show, we're talking to one of the local Hayward area fishing guides, Kyle Sorensen, about summer muskie fishing. Had a chance to talk to Kyle the other night on the phone with some great tips and information.
Kyle, you know, we're basically mid-summer right now, and we're coming up to, you know, the end of July and August when people start talking about the dog days of summer. And as long as our water temperatures don't get too crazy, we can find some pretty good muskie fishing out there, but it's a little bit different when we get in the summer months like this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but these muskies are eating a lot of stuff in the summer. People think that, you know, muskies eat the most in the fall, but they're putting a lot of food down in the midsummer too. And like you said, as long as the water temps aren't over that, you know, 80 degree mark or whatever your cutoff is, there can be some amazing muskie fishing in, you know, July and August.
You bet. Well, you know, and even when we do see 80 degrees and even above 80 degrees, it's not good to be out there fishing them because you're going to be bringing fish up in that top layer of water. But those fish are still down there. The water's always going to be cooler down there where they're at, and they're just going to seek out that cooler water to stay there. But you really, again, you really don't want to be bringing them up into that low oxygen hot water either. So hopefully we don't get to that point. We're probably going to start seeing it on some of the small lakes and stuff. But I think the bigger lakes will probably be fine this year from the way it looks.
Yeah, that's what it really seems like. I know I've been out here fishing the last few days, and it's been fairly good. And our water temps right now, at least where I've been, have been around 77, which I'm still willing to fish them in those temperatures. And I don't know, I mean, maybe we could talk about some of the tactics we're using in the summer.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to talk about. You know, what changes? You know, these fish are going to be, there's top water would be, everybody thinks about top water and bucktails, but there, you know, there's times when you can catch a lot more fish with another type of presentation.
Yeah, I think the number one thing that stands out is erratic presentations, whether it's a jerk bait or a crank bait being twitched or rubber baits being worked very aggressively. I know work really well. I know one of my favorite things anyway is fishing rubber baits and fishing them very aggressively.
Well, you know, and a lot of people tend not to fish this stuff aggressive enough. I've seen it in my boat. You know, I go way back a long time. I started doing that. You know, when I moved up here to Hayward, most of the guys were fishing bucktails or topwaters, and once in a while somebody throw a jerk bait, but we started working, you know, a deeper structure and working a lot more radical with the baits, a lot more aggressive on the presentation. And it seems like that actually triggers this response. And the old saying, speed kills. Whether you're trolling fast or you're ripping a bait, that speed, fast reaction seems to get a strike from muskies sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, John. There are so many so many baits available nowadays, but, you know, I think that presentation is a lot bigger than the bait itself. And whether it's a bulldog or it's a Medusa or it's a Lake X toad or whatever it is, just really cranking on them and getting that speed, you know, a nice big 3-foot rip to really get those fish to think it's getting away from them. Sometimes they just can't resist it.
Well, you know, when do you determine to throw the rubber versus throwing, say, a big jerk bait or a big twitch minnow like a grandma or a jake or something like that?
For me, a lot of it's confidence. I've got a lot of confidence in certain rubber baits, so, you know, maybe someone in the front of the boat can be throwing that. Maybe I'll be throwing a crankbait. You really help yourself out by having a couple anglers and being able to cover multiple bases until you figure out what is working the best on that body of water, you know, that, you know, particular time or whatever. But when I'm around weeds, I really prefer to rip rubber baits on a short rod. I like to fish a double extra heavy and just something that you can really give a hard rip to clear the weeds off of the hooks if they do get weeded up, so that way you can still have a fairly clean presentation coming through if you get into weeds.
You said short rod. You're not fishing the 8 or 8.5-foot rods, or are you fishing shorter than that?
Yeah, I'll fish a 7.6 or an 8-foot rod. On other times, I'll fish a 9-foot and even up to a 10-foot for bucktails. So when I say shorter, to me personally, that means 7.6 or 8-foot.
Well, you know, and the rod choice is actually more important for the rubber baits than it is with a lot of other baits, because not only are you ripping through the weeds, but you got to be able to set the hook. And I think that's the way a lot of people miss fish on rubber baits, is they just can't get that hook set, because once they glom onto that thing, you're not moving it unless you really hit them hard.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely not recommended to be fishing larger rubber baits on a medium heavy rod. I made that mistake a few years ago at thinking I could do it, and you really have a tough time sticking them unless you have a stiff enough rod.
I've lost some pretty big fish doing that, making that mistake, just not grabbing my really heavy rod and going with a lighter rod and have a fish get a hold of it. You just don't get a grip or don't get a choke set on them.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is key to rip it out of their grip and get those hooks to penetrate, you know, hopefully in the side of the face or, you know, whatever, wherever you can grab onto there with good sharp hooks. You know, it's very important to keep your hook sharp when you're fishing rubber.
Yeah, it's important anytime, but I think it's more important. You know, when you talk about the rubber baits, the rubber baits are kind of expensive and they do get chewed up, but there is ways of kind of repairing them too. I'm going to talk about that a little bit real quick before we move on here. But, you know, most of the guys that fish a lot of rubber carry a little micro torch in the boat, because you can actually mend those baits back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, once, you know, even pike are famous for it too. If something with teeth grabs onto it, it can flay some of that rubber out, and it may not swim the same, or it, you know, you may lose a leg or lose a tail or whatever. And I like to use a butter knife. I'll heat up the butter knife and, you know, with a little torch, like you say, and melt that plastic back together. And sometimes that can limp you through the day.
Well, you know, we talked about the rubber baits, and there's a wide variety of stuff out there now. And some of them are actually pretty darn big and heavy. I mean, you get into the pounders or even bigger than a bulldog type baits. It takes a lot of rod to throw those things. What do you, besides the rod, you're using a really stout rod, but what are you throwing for line and stuff on them?
I always fish 100-pound or 120-pound braid when I'm using the heavier rubber bait. And not so much for fighting the fish, but more if you get a backlash with that heavy bait, you don't want to cast it off. So I use, you know, usually 100 or 120-pound line, 130-pound fluorocarbon leader, and very heavy snaps or split rings too.
Yeah, because if you hit the end of that line on a backlash with even 80 pound, boy, it sounds like a rifle shot when it cracks that line, because a no stretch line, the braid, a lot of people don't realize it with no stretch braid, but it might be a 100-pound test line, but it does not do well with shock absorption. You can pull a dead pull on it and 100 pounds or more to break it, if you can do that even. But as far as breaking it with a shock, it breaks way easier than you think it does.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, John.
Let's talk about other erratic presentations real quick. I know one of the things that I actually fished with Pete years ago, and we got throwing them big grandma baits, and of course that evolved into other baits like the Jake and everything else. But, you know, I've been in the boat with people where, you know, you tell them to kind of make the bait erratic, and it's more of a steady pull, stop, and I've noticed that the more erratic, the more spastic you can make that bait look, where it's flipping on its side and flashing, you know, a big belly flash where the bait almost tries to roll over because you're pulling it so hard, so fast. That triggers a responsive strike when just a stop, start, stop, go thing just doesn't work.
Yeah, you don't want to be gradual about it at all. You know, I try to hit it on a slack line. I'll give myself 6 inches of slack and then snap it real good. You should hear the line popping or, you know, ripping a little bit of water off the line when you snap it is a pretty good indicator. But it is definitely key to triggering those fish, especially big ones this time of year, to do something erratic and do something a little bit different than the rest of the crowd.
Well, you know, a lot of times we're fishing a little bit deeper water during the summer months, or we're looking at fish being a little deeper, but that doesn't mean that you have to be having your bait down deeper, because if something gets their attention real quick, they can come up quite a ways to hit a bait.
Yeah, they really can. As long as I'm within, you know, 10 feet of the fish, I feel very confident. I mean 10 feet vertically. I feel very confident that they'll come up and get it, because typically the lakes that we're fishing a little bit deeper are more than often clear lakes, and they can really see a long ways down there.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales, and they have live bait, tackle, and fishing licenses too. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen.
Another good option in the summertime is trolling too. And, you know, the one thing that there's been a lot of talk about is baits that what they call hunt. They get real erratic. Like if you're looking at smaller baits like Rapala scatter wraps, where they'll swim one way and all of a sudden they'll shift direction one side or the other. And instead of swimming and wobbling in a straight line, they're all over the place. That goes back to that more erratic action again.
Yeah, absolutely. And another big one that, you know, has gotten bigger in the musky industry is the supernatural big bait, the matlocks, the headlocks. Some of those, you know, natural wood baits that have the ability to seek around, like you say, and hunt side to side. It's all about the triggering aspect, like you talked about.
You know, and something a lot of people don't do with trolling. Most people will troll over these rod holders because we're moving at 3.5 miles an hour. But if you don't want to troll that fast, you can actually take baits like a Grandma or a Jake or some of those baits and troll them and rip them and snap them while you're trolling at a slower speed, and covering a lot of water on the edge of a weed line, too. And that also can be effective at times.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense, especially on a body of water like the Chippewa Flowage, where I believe the line's regulation for trolling is one a person. You might as well have, you know, each person holding a rod and trying to trigger a bite, especially if you know you're in a better area where there may be a fish on a certain point or whatever. You know, be ripping that bait, giving it some pauses, giving it, you know, a little bit of the speed up once in a while.
You know, adding a lot of different things. I mean, I know I've gotten into using a lot of the Livingston lures. I know you're throwing some because Pete throws them. And I've noticed that you just, whether it's the actual fish sound that those lures make or if it's just the additional noise or sound they make, I could tell you that they definitely seem to attract more attention from the fish, especially when they get erratic and stuff.
Yeah, I've really had a lot of luck on those, specifically the Livingston Bulldozer, which is a lot like a Rapala Super Shad. It's a smaller crankbait. I'll troll those. Otherwise, there's a Livingston Squeaky Pete, which is a lot like a Jake. They troll down to about 10, 12 feet, and those have been great. They've definitely, I agree with you. I'm not sure if it's the sound or if it's the bait or what it is, but they do seem to work well.
How about baits that suspend somewhat when you're working a deep weed edge? Because you can rip a bait, there's some crankbaits I know, like a Livingston Rachel, but there's other baits that'll do it too. Or you can rip that thing, get it down 5 or 6 feet, and you rip it 2 or 3 times and stop for a pause, and it just sits there for a second, and all of a sudden it takes off again in front of the muskies, and they seem to just crush it at that point.
Yeah, that death pause really is key, and it's so much more natural with a suspending bait. You know, if it's a dying bass or whatever it is, it's not going to abruptly float straight up. You know, those suspending baits are so much better at imitating, you know, a wounded fish.
Well, you know, we've covered a lot of different things here today, Kyle. I know, let's hope our water temperatures don't get crazy hot. We've had some really hot weather, but so far the lakes are holding. They're okay as far as water temperatures as we're recording this anyhow. But if we do start getting up in that temperature, again, I should mention to people out there that, you know, it's any kind of a fish that you're pulling up that you're going to fight hard, you get it up in 80-plus degree water. I mean, water tends to start losing its ability to hold dissolved oxygen at a little over 80 degrees, and you might be sitting there trying to hold that fish up the side of the boat to recuperate it, and the poor fish can't get any oxygen because the oxygen levels are so low, even though they're doing fine when they're down in the deeper water where there's a little more oxygen.
Yeah, there's definitely a trade-off. You know, when you're releasing a muskie, I've kind of tried a few different ways. Sometimes it's best to just submarine them off and get them to where they can get down to deeper water, you know, versus the traditional hold them beside the boat. You know, sometimes just minimizing your handling and getting them back to their environment as soon as possible is best.
Yeah, it's what I kind of do. It's been doing for the last few years. I get one, we get it sometimes we don't even bring it in the boat if the water temperatures are up, and you catch it on purpose or by accident, and grab it by the tail and push it down nose first in the water, and you can hold it there for a second, then just give it a shot, get him going down in that water. He's below that surface temperature by a couple of feet. Make a big difference, I think, sometimes on the fish.
Yeah, absolutely. So many of these muskies are under legal keeping size, which we don't keep them anyway, but you always want to do the best you can to get them to survive, you know, an angler encounter.
Well, Kyle, a lot of good information there. If somebody's looking to get you for a guide, how do they get a hold of you? I know you work a couple of different, you work another job too, so you guide it part-time, I guess, right? And
yep.
How does somebody get a hold of you to set up a guide trip? And you cover most of the lakes up here and most of the waters.
Yep, I'm all over up here, you know, pretty much anywhere within an hour and a half of Hayward. The easiest way is just to call my cell phone, shoot me a call or a text at 715-558-8911.
Well, thanks a lot, Kyle, for coming on here. Been a pleasure having you on the show here again, and let's hope we can get out there and have some good muskie action this summer.
Sounds good, John.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin. Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.